Grant Bridger, good morning, and thank you for coming up to Waiheke Radio on Saturday morning when I know just a couple of weeks out from your big show, you're probably incredibly busy.
Yeah, busy, but I'm good. Had a walk on the beach.
Oh, yeah, well, you should start every day with a walk on the beach or a walk of some sort, if you can, of course. Mm-hmm. Some of us rush off to
Auckland. This is actually the first...
Just a bit closer to the mic.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's not about your
Turn
mic.
Turn me up a bit, baby. give me more volume.
That's better.
Last time I was in this radio, it was with you.
It probably was.
Yeah.
And we were talking about a few things, including your recovery from some mental health issues, and I've gone straight there without asking permission, because we have talked about that before.
Yeah, that's fine.
And your recovery has been astonishing. But let's put petty crime into context.
Mm-hmm.
This show, Grant, that you've written, choreographed.
No, I haven't choreographed.
You've got somebody who can actually choreograph to come in and do that.
Tristan Glendinning.
Oh my goodness, Tristan Glendinning.
Yeah.
So for those islanders who have arrived on Waiheke in the last 20 years and don't know Tristan, Tristan and his mum were really great Waiheke identities back in the 90s, early noughties.
Mm-hmm.
Helena was the ultimate of barrow women, the most beautiful, loud, colourful vegetable seller you'll ever come across. And her son Tristan was a dancer.
He is a dancer. He was in a lot of Kathy Ogletree shows.
He was.
But I met him in Evita. He did the feature tango dance with the feature tango other dancer. And he's got a magic on stage, and he's really good, because he listens to what I kind of want in the show, but also makes wonderful additions to it as well. Really outside my box ideas.
It's not a lot outside your box. But anyway,
terrible, Muriel.
We will come back to Tristan, but let's talk about you, which I know you don't like doing.
No, but enough about me. What do you think of me?
That Simon Johnson used to tell that one in the Gulf News office.
Did he?
Yeah. That's a beautiful one. Hey, but let's get back to you and talk about this show. Has been some years in the making. Is that fair?
A long time in the making, because
I think that was a prompt for how many years?
Well, in the 90s.
Mm.
Remember that?
Yeah, sort of.
I kind of had a really big creative spurt.
Mm.
I had a little cottage by the beach in Campbell's Bay.
Mm.
It was about 94, 96 that the abhorrence for animal testing began to grow inside my consciousness, and I started to think about writing a show. So
about vivisection, wasn't it?
Well, about animal abuse, about animals living in a world controlled by humans, and how could I depict that without educating, shoving messages down people's throat. So what we ended up with is actually a comedy with a very hard-hitting scene in the laboratory, which I don't apologize for, but I think people will take on a message more when they're entertained and have a wonderful night out than if you go, you're the baby,
this is theatre has, and we talked briefly about this off air, theatre has had a proud history of politics, and animal rights is a political issue.
Yeah, and healing.
And healing. And yes, healing perhaps, but first of all, we have to get the issue onto the table, don't we? And I think it's fair to say that the animal rights issue of the 90s has not gone away, and neither should it. And in fact, have we got better or worse at looking after animals, Grant?
I think we've got a bit better.
Okay.
There are more people being more vocal. There are more technologies providing better alternatives.
Mm.
I think it's better than it was when I wrote the show. But interesting point about this, I thought a pet shop. Yes, so I set it in a pet shop, and the rat who lives in the basement turns the pet shop into a nightclub at night for all the local woofs and strays.
Yeah.
And in my I never went to the typewriter, my little portable typewriter. never went to the typewriter without being inspired. And eventually the animals started coming to me in dreams and saying, do this, I do that, then I do this, I wear this, I want to do that. And they kind of drove the whole thing.
That's wonderful.
And since then it's grown and grown and changed and expanded and contracted. And in fact, only last week I wrote the final edit.
Wow.
And
So it's what, 20 years in the making?
Yeah.
Wow.
It sat on the shelf.
We got to the number, folks. We got to the number in the end.
Yeah, yeah.
20 I mean, years in the making.
It's nothing really in the eternal aspect of creativity. It's 20 years is nothing.
Sure.
You know, you still.
In fact, every artist's great final piece de resistance has come after many years of it internally building, eh?
Yeah.
So this is a not your final show, but a great
It's my legacy.
It is your legacy. I didn't want
and
to say
Matthew's
that.
Matthew's legacy.
And
as
now
well.
Let's talk about Matthew, because your co-creator in terms of musicality has in your career has often been Matthew Brown. Was often Matthew Brown.
Yeah.
Tell us about Matthew.
Oh, I was in love with Matthew deeply, and we worked together on concerts and gigs and recordings, and we did a program of Sondheim in the studio for Radio New Zealand, the early Beatles, early Elton John. Matthew did all the arrangements. He got the band together. He never achieved the kudos that I believe, and I think he secretly believed that he was
undervalued in New Zealand.
Undervalued.
Mm. I think a lot of New Zealand artists who don't go overseas feel that, don't they? But hopefully no longer. I think we've got a pride now in our artists that was missing 20 years ago.
But also, I think it's a mistake to expect success to come from
outside.
In a way, you can find your creative fulfillment within and be to a greater degree happy with that, whatever comes after that will just be strawberry on the cake.
So did you write the words and Matthew wrote the tunes?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna listen to a song in a sec, but first of all, we need to acknowledge Matthew passed away.
He did. As Paul, our rehearsal pianist, said, "Oh, Matthew, yes, he's dead at the moment, isn't he?" And I know Matthew would absolutely
he would be in hysterics.
Crack up at that.
He would be
and
in hysterics.
By the way, just because he's on the other side doesn't mean to say he's not involved in this production, because I can tell you, he makes his presence known every now and again.
Well, usually, I can tell you something, that we stream Waiheke Radio to heaven. So
he'll get it. He's on the frequency.
Absolutely.
Hi, Matthew.
Okay, so here we go.
Let me tell you about a bit about this first.
Yes, please do. This song is called I Just Want to Break Out. So talk us into this.
When I was a kid, all I wanted to do was dance. Mm. I just wanted to be a dancer. My father played rugby a little queen. I got smacked around, and I used to skip rugby practice.
Me too.
And get the tram at the age of 7 or 8 into Queen Street, Queen Street, and go to Diacatepa's ballet classes until he found out. I got such a thrashing.
Oh, your dad found
out.
Yeah,
my dad found out.
So
I'm dancing in the overture of Sweet Charity at the Mercury, chosen to dance in the overture with the dancers.
Yes.
Is
he in the audience?
No, he wasn't in the audience, but I just kind of like sent a message. Look at your little queen now, daddy-o.
Yeah.
You know, so the Turtle song, I Just Want to Break Out of My Shell, is kind of, it's my song in a way, because
you could finally be
turtle.
You.
All he dreams of being a dancer. He dreams that he slips out of his shell and he dances wonderfully to the music. And so we've got Sam Downes playing.
Kathy Downes' son, famous New Zealand actor.
And he's a beautiful character actor. And his turtle is totally divine. This demo's done when we went back and did the recording of the demos by Todd Emerson.
Yeah.
So this isn't Sam's voice, but...
Oh, this isn't Sam singing, but this is the song.
This is,
if I've got all the buttons right, I'll press that one. We should be able to hear I Just Want to Break Out, the Turtle song from Petty Crime.
I'd like to have a word or two with who or what designed me. I wish that in the process they had paused and thought about the consequence of living in a shell without including a withdrawal clause. I just want to break out of my shell, escape a little bit and twist and leap and yell and pirouette and jetty and and study jazz and ballet. Oh, can't you see it's like a living hell to be encumbered with the turtle shell? Everywhere I go, I've got a roof over my head, and all I do is pull it in when it's time to go to bed. But when I want to break out, cut loose and jive and shake, I gotta stay inside my house. A turtle needs a break. Sure, it protects me, I won't deny you that. But sometimes I would like to go out without my hat and travel at the speed of light to visit kith and kin. Instead of at a snail's pace, it really is a sin. Just wanna break out of my shell, escape a little bit and twist and leap and yell, and pirouette and jeté, and study jazz and ballet. Oh, can't you see it's like a living hell to be encumbered with the turtle shell? Such is life. If I could live my fantasy, I'd show my wise creator what a dancer I could be. I only have one wish in life, one chance, and I would show him Baryshnikov and Nureyev, Fontaine, their minds, I'd blow them. I've fantasized, I've dreamed about, I'm sure that it would sell. A portable, a removable, a when you need it shell. But now that I've experienced the feel of being free, I've also felt an overwhelming insecurity. The lesson learned is obvious, at least it seems to me, that what we are is how it is. That's how we chose to be.
I just want to break out from the new and upcoming show to have its world premiere at Artworks in a month or so. But we're going to talk about dates and stuff. I've got Grant Bridger, the writer and not producer.
Director
of the show. The show's called Petty Crime, and Grant's in the studio. That was a song called I Want to Break Out. That was the turtle, but as Grant explained, that was kind of him breaking out. Songs have all got these double meanings for you, surely. Let's talk about who else is involved then. We talked about Tristan Glendinning, former Islander and dancer, who has choreographed it for you.
He is in the process of.
In the process
we're
of.
Very much in the process of.
Of putting it all together on stage. Yeah, amazing.
It's a big one.
So how big's the cast?
13.
Oh, my goodness, that's quite a lot for Artworks.
Yeah.
So tell us about some of the leads. Tell us about some of the people involved. We talked Matthew Brown, who's done the tunes, if you like, while you've done...
Written the music for the lyrics,
which
have
come.
But also we've got Stephen Small, who has kind of like replaced Matthew in that I did concerts with him and he wrote the music for the demos. And
so would
he
you
is
call
now
him the musical director.
He's now able to do it, whereas he wasn't going to be able to do it.
Right. So that's wonderful.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So who else will Waiheke folk
recognize? There are no leads really, except we've got one professional in the cast, Aaron Ward, who's at present doing a Roger Hall in Palmerston. He's coming up.
Is he going to play the rat?
Yeah, he's playing the...
Ratty. The Ratty McRatface.
The rodental influence.
The rodental influence.
And George Gardner is playing a prostitute.
So George, former editor of the Waiheke Marketplace, yeah. jazz singer, well-known islander,
yeah.
And great singer,
yeah.
is a prostitute.
She's a prostitute. She was born in the laboratory.
Can you explain to us what a prostitute is?
Well, she was born in the laboratory and her mother, and through all the pain and suffering, her mother used to say, they're not all like that. All people are not like these people. And in the end, she had nothing, when they had nothing left to test all the organs and stuff, she was thrown out, which is kind of like a bit of dramatic license. But because she was in a state of very low self-esteem and self-image, she became a hooker.
Yeah.
And so hence the prostitute.
Yeah.
And she finds, the ranger finds her down an alley by a dumpster and brings her into Doris, because Doris owns the pet shop. Mm. Pets Palace.
Which becomes a nightclub after dark.
That's right. The rat turns it into a nightclub.
And okay,
then there's a woman from down south, Tanya Carter, playing Piaf, the pole dancing French poodle, a.k.a. Poodalicious.
You've had a lot of fun with this.
Tanya's had a lot of experience in musical theatre, and she's hot. She's yeah. right on to it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's hear another song. Since we've talked about George playing the prostitute, what's the prostitute's name?
Katrina.
Katrina. Okay, this song's by Katrina, and it's called
I've Been Through It All. And it's sung by a woman I was in Superstar with, Rietta Austin. Not by George.
So this isn't George singing, but George will sing this song when the show goes live at our.
It's an aria. It's a big bitch.
And it's a big bitch. Okay, yeah. So let's listen to this. This is I've Been Through It All from Petty Crime. Wi-Fi issues.
Until I was shoved, but I'm still on my feet. I'm not so sure I still can love. After all the pain, I remember the words. Don't hate them all. The mercy she spoke of has come round at last, in spite of all the doubt. So here I stand. Surprise, to hell with the past.
I'll not miss a moment of now I've been misused, abused, and never amused. But that's all gone when the sun crept through the bars. Through it all, I still could feel an
You're right. That's a big song.
Yeah, that's a big song.
Good luck, George. Yeah, good luck with that one, George. I'm sure you'll be fine.
She was saying it's rather daunting hearing Rietta's version of that and then, you know, singing along with it or trying. But she'll be great.
She turns everything she touches into gold. Okay. Right, so let's talk about some more of the people involved.
Okay. Well, I did want to mention... the idea I had that the Pet Shop was... I sat in the in the empty seats of the Mercury Theatre production after production after production, watching them rip down the set, throw it out in the skip and get rid of it. And then
buy new timber to build a new one.
Exactly. And why aren't we swapping shows with Wellington, you know?
Yeah.
And why are we buying...
Well, in terms of sets and things.
Yeah.
So if we have a show...
productions.
That, so if we have a production in Auckland and a production in Wellington of the same thing, why are they building two sets? Is that what you mean?
No, I mean that the Wellington production can come to Auckland and the Auckland can go to Wellington and at least it's...
Yeah, we don't do things twice.
A couple of times.
So I
sort of thought of this idea of sustainable...
set design.
Set design where... I've found things at Whisker on the side of the road, been given
We're
stuff.
Talking to Michelle from Whisker later in the show this morning.
Oh, great.
Mm. Whisker's a great organisation, isn't it?
It is.
Anyway, back to your show.
So I've literally got stuff stacked on my deck and inside the house, and the pet shop is, it's impressionist, it's minimalist, and Kristen Sorensen, who's doing the... designing the costumes, has embraced that beyond my wildest dreams. I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but her costumes are inspired and wonderful.
And all from recycled stuff.
She's a secondhand queen as well.
Right, perfect.
You know, she gets a lot of her stuff from recycled
things. That suits Waiheke.
Mm.
That suits Artworks.
Yeah.
How's Artworks to work in?
Well, it's gone through a lot of changes. It's good they have people come and go. They've got a great board at the moment.
Don't they just?
You know, it's really good. Mm. And I hope it's almost been – I mean, I love it. It's small. Mm. It's intimate. It's the right size for this.
It's a nice black box.
It could be better technically equipped.
Mm. Oh, well, fundraising then. Come on, folks.
But, hey, I've got – some people I used to work with back in the day, you know, Nick Janurick, who's designing the lights for this, who works for New Zealand Opera and Auckland Theatre Company and did the Hamilton Arts Festival lighting design, you know.
And lighting's going to be important in this show, isn't it? Because it's an after dark sort of production and it's moody and it's about evil and it's about... escape and stuff. So lighting.
It's about joy as
sorry,
well.
Sorry, it's about joy. Of course, ultimately it's about joy.
Ultimately but it is. It's about going forward. One of the favourite, my two unfavourite sayings at the moment are on point.
And reach out?
Or something like that.
I can't stand reach out.
Going forward.
Yeah. But so going forward.
So going forward, where are we? Where are we at? Lighting, sound. I had the idea that I'm, because it's a community event. It's a community project which we're getting money from. Give a Little, the theatre have donated some money, which they got donated.
So there's a
to
give,
our production.
Give a Little page for the production.
There is,
because there's no. This is a non-commercial or non-profit production, right?
Well, I hope there'll be a profit. I'd like to get paid something for my months and years of work.
Yeah.
And I'd like to give some to the cast as well.
So the Give a Little page is to actually enable you to reward all the hard work.
No, it's actually to get the production on.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll reward them.
If you can.
It's a koha situation.
Okay. So anyway, back to the Give a Little page. If you're keen on supporting Grant and the show, go to givealittle.co.nz.
Yeah, and put in petty crime.
And search petty crime. It's not petty crimes. It's petty crime.
Singular.
Singular. Like daylight saving.
Oh, yes, yes.
And anyway, go on to Give a Little and support Grant and these wonderful Waiheke actors who are putting this on. So tell us more about the cast, Grant.
Well, we've got Ben Cobbett playing the Cockney Spaniel. He's had a lot of experience. The Cockney Spaniel.
Nice.
I mean, you can play his song. It's really beautiful.
Okay, what's his song called?
His song is called Daniel's Lullaby. And it's all in Cockney rhyming slang.
Oh, how lovely. We'll play that in just a second.
Written by my friend Chris Cooper, who I used to do some television shows with way back.
Excellent.
He's a Pommy.
Yeah.
And Ben is, I'm not easy to work with. You know, I get frustrated, I get impatient. I've worked with directors and now I go, how could they be so patient? And how important it is to love your cast, and I get angry.
And except when they do something with a show that wasn't exactly how you saw it, how do you deal with that?
I'm constantly saying, find a common denominator, find the actor's strengths and build on that rather than imposing a hitherto held image of what I think I want.
Because that, to me, is great directing, is when you can bring your imaginary play and grow that from what the other people bring as well.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay.
But one more thing.
Yeah, please.
So it is frustrating, but one of the frustrating thing is, you know, when people say, I'd really like to do acting, I would never go near them. You don't do acting. Acting actually does you in a way that do less. Let it happen. All you have to do is have the feeling. An audience will feel it. I believe in the one vibration of soul energy. You know, it's a dance between the audience and the actor.
Yeah.
So feel it and let that manifest through you physically. Don't impose outward gestures.
Otherwise it becomes artifice rather than...
Becomes acting.
And it becomes acting, exactly. Okay, let's listen to Daniel's...
React.
Daniel's Lullaby. And who's singing this?
This is Paul Barrett.
Ah, Paul Barrett.
One of the funniest people in the world. And also he's been a great supporter and our rehearsal pianist at the Surfdale Hall, which is our home.
So rehearsals at the Surfdale Hall.
Yeah, and Doris Aoina has been mentoring us and being very flexible and wonderful, because it's now most of the halls are slowly becoming Waiheke run.
Yes.
Great.
Fantastic.
You know?
Taking back our halls. Okay, here's Daniel's Lullaby.
Taking back our halls.
Halls.
Oh, yes.
Kia ora.
Go to sleep. Close your eyes. Have a bo peep. Rest your mince pies. Lay your head on the
pillow. How annoying. We got a barking dog in the studio now. Now, that's a Wi-Fi problem up here at Waiheke Radio, and we're trying to play it through Wi-Fi, and, of course, there's some bandwidth issue. But anyway, I will play some more songs from it later. Grant, let's wrap up with some of your views on why musical theatre still has great value today.
Oh, where do I begin? Oh, you know, as a performer, it's wonderful to perform because there's acting, dance, and music. And all those things, when they're put together, are incredibly enjoyable for an audience. Mm. Interestingly, I went and saw Aladdin, and I've been to see some Broadway shows, and they're so intricate. They're so intricately put together from how far you push the pencil on the desk when we had a Broadway producer come out for a Secret Garden. Just, they're kind of like, it's almost like watching a movie or watching a puppet show. The element of spontaneity, there is no room for spontaneity because it's all so tight. Mm. So for me, the challenge is getting that tightness but also giving the impression that it's spontaneous. It's a real it's a real art, you know.
What's your favourite musical? Who's your favourite musical theatre writer?
Stephen Sondheim, without a doubt.
Isn't he incredible?
Yeah.
You know, did he do Into the Woods?
Yeah.
Into the Woods still rings in my head from the Watershed production in 1990-something. You know, just incredible.
I mean, to perform his work as well, which I'm lucky to enough. The first musical I ever did was, a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum.
Oh, my God, I saw that.
You know,
George
wearing
George Henare was playing the main character at the Mercury in about 1978.
That's right. It'd be about that. But
were you in that?
No. I did that in Tauranga Operatic Society.
Oh, okay.
With a little toga on, a little above the knee skirt. It was a lovely little permanently pleated number. And then Sweeney Todd and a little night music and Side by Side by Sondheim, Follies. Lucky to have done those things. You know, beautiful writer, really challenging. Like, there's one, we did a Sondheim thing for radio. When you weigh up high and you look below and the things you left in the world, you know little more than a glance is enough to show you just how small you are. When you weigh up high and you're on your own in a world like nothing you've ever known, and the sky is lead and the earth is stone, you're free to do whatever pleases you, exploring things you'd never dare, because you don't care when suddenly there's a big, tall, terrible giant at the door. You know, like, give me a place to breathe, Stephen.
Yeah, he's full on. Isn't
he's beautiful.
Incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah, beautiful.
But also politically powerful. And one of the last things I'd like to talk to you about in the you know, the wake of the terrible events in Christchurch and the display of leadership that we've seen Jacinda Ardern take on and all those things. You know, I interviewed Michael Hirst and Jennifer Wood Leyland recently in a fundraiser. No. This was a month or two ago as part of the Jesse Dean Trust's fundraiser evening. And one thing I said to Michael and Jennifer, obviously old friends of yours, one thing I said to Michael was, is this a time for political theatre to make another comeback? Do we not need political theatre in times of trouble?
Definitely.
And to be honest, as much as it was wonderful, I don't think Michael had a lot of time to answer that. And I feel that this question still needs exploring.
Do I have time to answer it?
Yes, please.
Well, it's funny because you're just asking me that now. And this morning I answered an email on a group called Ecoversity, which is a network of consciousness-raising peace activism.
And with a theatrical angle?
No, not at all. I said... Let's get rid of the marches. It's only personal. I mean, I know they're better than nothing, but political theatre and drama has always been a method of I mean, you know, the court jester.
Yes, indeed.
Was one of the few people that could tell the king the truth.
Quite right.
Without losing his head.
Quite right.
And it's a healing art as well. You know, theatre has been for eons a healing art of sound, of colour, of message,
of community.
So I said, yeah, come on, let's think of a name. Political protesters, no, you know, theatrical, whatever, but think of a name and start, give a little page to start getting some costumes, and I'd like to buy a truck. That, you know, you fold the sides down. There's wonderful trucks, and they've got a sound system. You can take it anywhere. I think it is. Regarding and this may make me a little bit controversial, but...
What, you?
You know, I did... it was tragic what happened in Christchurch. I will not deny a second of that, nor Jacinda's leadership, and it was totally inspiring. Then I think it became a bit emotionally smarmy, mm-hmm. having the newsreader, wearing mm-hmm. a scarf. Yeah. It just kind of, I went, oh, come on, you guys. And this is not the responsibility of the newsreaders, and that's the responsibility of the directors and managers and CEOs of the media. Which, let's face
it... To be honest, I think probably not. It would have been a newsroom decision. But still, anyway.
Yeah. And
sought approval from above.
And, you know, let's stay away from digging too deep about this guy that committed the offence.
Absolutely.
Where he's been, what training he had, where was he?
Toss?
Let's not dig too deep because it may... The wound may open up, and we actually may have to heal a bigger wound.
Yeah. Well, if there's a festering wound underneath, we need to open it.
I think there always is.
Yeah, there always is. Okay. That's not the most cheerful place to end. All you need is love.
Not only love, but love, as some person said, it's not just about having love. It's about love in action.
Love in action. What a great place to end. Grant Bridger, it's been an absolute honour to talk to you on air this morning. I've been waiting for this for some months as petty crime got closer and closer.
Open on the 4th.
So let's talk about the final details. It's open on the 4th of May.
Yes, and you're listening. Yes, you who are listening. Yes, don't look around. You.
Yes, you. No, you.
You will go to the website and you will book a seat very soon so we know where we are and so you won't miss out. Because if you miss out, don't come crying to me.
Exactly. And one more thing. What's your hopes and dreams for the show once it's had its world premiere?
Exciting, isn't it? We're going to have a red doormat, by the way, not a red carpet. We can't afford a red carpet. We're going to have a red doormat.
That's Waiheke. That's very
Waiheke, isn't it?
Yeah. So it is the world premiere, and you do hope that there will be other productions of it, obviously.
Yeah. And I like somebody else to direct it. I've been talking with a guy, Mike, down the road, who owns... Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club, who's unbeknown to me before I met him, invests in theatre. We've had a bit of a chat. Mm. Nothing going on, but we've made a connection.
Yep, yep.
I would like to go to the Glen Eden Playhouse Theatre.
Excellent.
Where my Nana and Papa used to be round the corner, which has got the best tech specs.
Wow.
Really good out west. They don't get much theatre.
It's kind of westy, the show, isn't it?
It is quite westy. And then
it would go down well in the West, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
it would. I reckon it would.
Yeah.
And Broadway, West End, Schmist End, Schmordway, can't be bothered with big things like that.
We're going straight to Dunedin.
Yeah. Straight to Huntley.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, fantastic, Grant. Thank you so much for your
time
this morning.
Thank you.
The show opens on May the 4th at Artworks. Get your tickets. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Again.